Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and glorify your name. Thank you for the work of redemption that Christ did for us throughout his life, showing us the way to Calvary. And then on that cross, glory to God, he finished that work. And we thank you because now we have redemption. Glory to God. Redemption. Thank you. In whom we have redemption. The scripture says, through the blood of his cross, having forgiven us all trespasses. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise, Lord, because you took us out of darkness, brought us into your marvelous light. We rejoice in that light today. And may that power of resurrection be with us, liberating things that are dead, bringing them back to life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The entrance, O Lord, of your word, as always, we know it brings light. Let that light shine in our hearts today and understanding to the glory and praise of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome again. I'm talking today for a few minutes on the power of his resurrection. It's not dead. Only asleep. I'm going to be speaking to some things that appear to be dead this morning. Let's call back some life. Because, you know, together with my dead body, Jesus said, that comes out of the grave, ye shall live also. You know, so we'll pick up this famous story, popular story that almost the whole world knows, really, in John chapter 11, the story, you know, of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. But before we get to that particular point in the story, let's consider some elements in that story that may be a blessing to us. We'll start from the very beginning of the chapter, John chapter 11. I'm going to read through most of it, quickly paraphrase some of it, and then just call out a few things as we go along. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, you know, we know that, you know, these people sent a message to the Lord, you know. So if you read in verse 5, say, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So there was some kind of connection and closeness to them. You know, he'd been in their house before and things like that and so on. You know, so they sent a message to him, you know, that, you know, the sisters did, that their brother was sick. Now, in verse 4, when Jesus heard that, you know, because they sent a message to him and said, your friend is sick. Well, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, let's pay attention to the words that Jesus spoke here. And we're going to see later on in the story something that relates to this. This sickness, Jesus pronounced, is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Now, we know that Jesus loved the two sisters and their brother. When he had heard, therefore, that Lazarus was sick, whom he loved, he abode 2 days more in the same place where he was. Now, that's kind of a strange behavior, wouldn't you think? I mean, we would have thought that the Lord would just go there quickly. Now, it takes many, you know, days sometimes to travel in those days between cities and different things. You know, so... But he even waited 2 more days. I mean, 2 more days. Then after 2 more days, from the time he got the message, and we don't know exactly, you know, why he initially said what he said, the sickness is not the death. I mean, the disciples didn't know that. But we know now, looking back into the story with hindsight, we can see that story. But he said, well, this sickness is not unto death, you know, so. And then he waited, you know, 2 more days. And finally he said, well, let us go into Judea again. So the disciples reminded him that, look, the people have been trying to kill you there. And you want to go there still? And Jesus said, well, you know, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbled. And I want to call out something out of this, even though it's not exactly part of the story of the resurrection, but it is in this story. So let's call this out as we go through these elements. John 11 and 9. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. Verse 10. Very important revelation in this verse 10. But if any man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Now, I want you to notice right away here that Jesus didn't say this man that walks in the night will stumble because there is no light around him or because it is dark. I mean, it's dark in the daytime. I mean, it's dark in the nighttime, sorry. You know, so you would expect that Jesus would have said that, well, you know, the man can't see because it's dark. Because he's putting out a contrast here. He said, well, if you walk in the day, you won't stumble because you can see the light of this world. He put that out there. Then he draws a contrast to if you walk in the night, then you would have expected him to say, well, you will stumble because you cannot see the light of this world. I mean, you know, that's what you would expect. But Jesus didn't say that. He said this man would stumble when he walks in the night because there is no light inside of him. Now, let's take note of that. Call that out right away. Because what we learn from this revelation is that it is the light of God inside of you that will make you not to stumble, even though it is dark around. You know, we're not relying on whether it is dark or light around. The light inside of you continues to shine regardless, as it is written in Isaiah chapter 60. It says, arise and shine. The glory of the Lord is upon you. Grows darkness around everywhere, but inside of you, the glory of God. So when we have that light in us, it doesn't matter whether it's dark around us. The light that's inside of you will keep you from stumbling. Hallelujah. You know, so we must preserve that light inside of us. They can't take away the light that's inside of you. They can take away the light around you. They can throw you in a dungeon and shut off the light and cut off your water supply and everything like that. But if you have that light inside of you, they can't take that away. Glory to God. It's inside of you and nobody can take that away. And that light that's inside of you will ooze out of you, will shine. Glory to God. You know, Jesus, in one place, he called it rivers of living water. You know, springing up from inside of you, you know, to eternal life. Hallelujah. In another place, in John 8 and 12, he said, look, if any man, you know, comes after me, he shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. Hallelujah. So this light inside a person, so important. But let's go back to our story. So after he had said these things, he now turned to the disciples and said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Now, today's lesson is not dead, only asleep. Now, Jesus said, our friend Lazarus is sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. And so, you know, the disciples thought that was a strange, you know, why want to go travel 2 days to go wake somebody that's sleeping? You know, they said, Lord, if he sleep, it'll be well with him. Yeah, he would sleep and wake up, you know, like he always does, because they thought he was talking of taking rest in sleep. So Jesus therefore said unto them plainly, because they didn't understand, you know, his own speech. You know, he was speaking in a different realm, but they didn't understand it. So he had to come and give it to them in their own realm. Lazarus is dead. Now, let's stop there before we even go further. Did he not say, you know, a little while ago that this sickness is not unto death? I mean, so now by now the disciples are thoroughly confused, because he said this sickness is not unto death. Glory to God. But that the glory of God might be revealed and the Son of God might be glorified thereby. He said that. But now he's telling us the man is dead. I mean, isn't that like contradictory? Well, but hold on now. Praise God. I want to bring something out of this. God calls the end from the beginning. And everything that's in between, you know, that's for him to know and for us to find out. But he called the end. The end result is that this man, out of his sickness, he will live. He's not going to die. But he died. So, now let's take this story slowly so that we can follow it. Jesus said the man will not die, but the man died. And Jesus now said again that, well, the man is dead. I mean, so they're thoroughly confused. He said, well, you know, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. So he had a plan. He wanted to show them, you know, said to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let's go on to him. He wanted to show them. Now, of course, if he had been there, everybody knows that he would have healed him, you know, and it would have prevented him from dying. But Jesus allowed the situation to get even worse. He allowed the situation, you know, to go from bad to worse. And even the worst happened. You know, these sisters lost their brother. And they have been weeping now for days. And they are making arrangements to bury. I mean, they go through all of this pain. I mean, Jesus could have just showed up, healed the man already, and prevented the family from going through all this incredible pain, you know, of weeping, you know, and so forth, and having to bury their brother. You know, but Jesus has his own plans. You know, he has his own agenda. The agenda was, as he said it at the beginning, for the glory of God. Now, sometimes, you know, there may be some things that are hard to swallow. This one was hard to swallow for me. First time I considered this story. I mean, why not heal the man already when he was still alive? Why allow the family to go through this great loss? People come from far and near to console them. They are crying. They are weeping. They are doing all these things. They have to make plans. They have to buy the casket. They have to do this. They have to buy a grave. They have to go dig the grave. They have to do all of these things. And they have to go through all these things. Why? You know, but Jesus already said at the beginning, this is not unto death. Now, if Jesus said it's not unto death, and then the man actually died, then we know that Jesus had a plan to reverse that death. That's the only thing that makes sense. Because you said, this sickness is not unto death. But the man died. You know, so he had a plan to reverse that death and to show people that what we see is not what he sees. And what he sees is not what we see. Now, Jesus sees a path for the glory of God. You know, now that path, unfortunately for those who are players in the act, you know, or people who are participating in this thing, for them, they may suffer some pain, they may suffer some loss, you know, may suffer some anguish, and it may seem as if the Lord doesn't care, but he sees a path to the glory of God through the pain that people are feeling. Now, let's put it out to you this way. Jesus sees a path to the end for you concerning the glory of God, even through the pain and the anguish that you may be feeling now. So let's continue the story. So Well, they are looking at him and thinking, well you know, he's outdone himself now. First he told us the man would not die, but now the man is dead. And let's see what this is all about. You know, so they go on to this, you know, to the place. Now, Bethany, you know, was now to Jerusalem about 15 furlongs off, you know. So many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him. But Mary sat still in the house. And Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I mean, we called unto you when he was sick, but you didn't show up. Now you show up after he's dead. Now let's take a look at that for a bit, because, you know, many of us go through situations like this. When we are calling upon the Lord, I'm believing God for something. The Lord may even give you a word, like it's not unto death. But then the thing dies. Jesus said, this is not unto death. But then the man died. I mean, just think about that. Things actually get worse sometimes before they get better. God sent Moses to the children of Israel to go bring them out of there. And their situation got worse because of Moses' attempt to set them free. Pharaoh said these people are idle. That's why they say they want to go worship the Lord. You know, increase their burden. You know, lay more tasks upon them. Don't even give them straw for bricks. Let them go find for themselves. But don't diminish the tale of bricks that they had to bring. And then the things got worse. Their situation got even harder. Their taskmasters got more cruel. You know, yet God said, you know, I'm set to deliver you. And so the people were angry against Moses. They said, you made our situation worse. Should have left us alone. This woman said, look, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But glory to God that she did not stop there. She now pulled something out. And I love this part. And you've heard me talk about it when I talk about Hebrews 4 and 12. That separation that that power of the word of God is able to bring between the soul and the spirit. In the soulish realm, she's discouraged. She's despondent. I mean, she's like disappointed that Jesus showed up late. You know, I mean, I was calling on you when my brother was sick. You know, and if you were here, I would be rejoicing today. He would not be in that grave, but you didn't show up. Now he's dead and buried. Now you show up. And so she's saddened. She's disappointed. She's despondent. I mean, she's like, but, you know, the next sentence is amazing what she said. But I know that even now, you know, so she let the spirit of God kick in right there. You know, in the soul, there's despondency. There is disappointment, discouragement, and sometimes even bitterness. You know, she was bitter that the Lord didn't show up on time. But then in her spirit, it kicked in. See, that word is able to divide asunder between the soul and the spirit. And immediately she said, well, you know, nevertheless, I know that even now, if you ask God anything, he'll give it to you. You know, so she left it right there. But she didn't really know, and nobody except Jesus really knew what was going to happen, because now the man's been buried. And they've never seen anything quite like that that would happen later. So nobody was expecting. So Jesus says to her, thy brother shall rise again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so Martha said, well, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection. Now, they've heard Jesus speak. Jesus said, look, I will lose none of them. I will raise them up at the last day. All that the Father has given me. I mean, he said that up and down the place so many times, you know. And my sheep, you know, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And I will raise them up at the last day. No man can pluck them out of my hands, and I will raise them up at the last day. I mean, he has preached that so many times, and they heard it, and she heard it too. And so she has a belief system here, you know, that tells her that, well, you know, he's coming out of that grave on the last day. We know that. So that's all she's zeroed in on right now. When Jesus says, your brother will rise again, she said, yeah, I know that. You've said that many times. I know he's coming out of there on the last day, at the resurrection. He's coming out of there. We have that hope. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, no, I'm not talking about that. Glory to God. I am not talking about that. I am right here, right now. I am the resurrection and the life. My goodness. Sometimes our belief systems, you know, preventing us from understanding what God is saying to us at the moment. Our belief system wrapped around, you know, the story and the hope of resurrection, which Jesus spoke many times. And she couldn't see beyond that. You know, even though she said, well, I know that even if you ask God, he would do anything, you know, and so forth. But she, you know, it was, I mean, just unimaginable. The man is in the grave, buried now. It's been 4 days now because, you know, it took 2 days for them to send the message. I mean, it took a while to send the message to Jesus. It took him several days to come. By the time he got there, the man's been buried. 4 days have passed, you know. So, and then Jesus says this incredible thing to her. I am the resurrection and the life. Don't look for anything else. I'm right here, right now. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, such as your brother, he shall live. And whosoever is living and believing in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So, this, you know, I mean, look. You guys, every one of us may look back now and say, well, why didn't Martha catch this? Well, that's easy for us to say now. But when she was the one going through the loss of her brother and everything, and she's the one that put that man in the grave 4 days ago, you know, now by now she's, the man's stinking, she said, you know, later on. How in the world were they going to know what the Lord's going to do? I mean, we have the benefit of hindsight now into this story. And so when Jesus asked her, do you believe this? Well, again, in her belief system, she goes on a rant on what she believes. I mean, she's not engaging in what Christ is saying right now. Even though a few moments ago, she said, well, I know if you ask God anything, he'll do it. But right now, it's difficult for her to engage in the thing that Christ is saying for the moment. She's just, you know, having hope for the future. And this is our problem many times. We're always putting things off. You know, God is able to do, and all believers, and those who heard my lesson, my teachings on the principles or oracles of faith and on faith specs, I spoke about this a great deal. Everybody believes that God is able to do all things. The problem is he able to do this specific thing? We know he's able to do all things. Everybody knows that. Even the devil believes and he trembles. You know, so, you know, everybody believes that. But is he able to do this particular thing? You know, I mean, God forbid that anybody should lose a loved one. That's some of the hardest things that anybody should ever go through. Especially if they are very close or is a parent or a child or something like that. You know, God forbid that that should happen. You know, but we as believers, we all believe, you know, unless you are not a believer, everybody believes that God is able to do all things. But when it comes to it, when the rubber meets the road, can we really believe for that specific situation? Even though we believe that God is able to raise the dead, and Jesus has raised many dead, and we know he's going to raise all the dead, you know, at the resurrection. If a loved one should pass away, will we believe that he's able in the moment to raise them again? Now, that's hard, you know. But if we cannot believe that, how in the world are we going to believe that Jesus is going to bring on hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of people that have died over the ages that believed in him? How is he going to bring them out of the grave? You know, if he can't bring one person back, how in the world is he going to do? I remember when I was a young man, you know, I used to, the faith that carried me was, look, don't tell me about heaven and all these things, you know, that God's going to do for me in heaven if he can't do this thing for me right now. You know, so, I mean, I challenged myself to believe like that. I said, look, For me to believe that God's going to give me the streets of gold, I will never die again, I'll live forever, and all of these things, I'll be healthy, you know, take away all sorrows, and do all these great things that we have been promised that he will do, which we know he will do. You know, I got to believe this smaller thing. A smaller thing right now, you know, is right here, right now. Let him do this thing. I got to believe this thing. You know, if you don't believe this thing, how are you going to believe the incredible things? Can't believe that God can raise one dead person right now. How is he going to bring out millions of people from the grave? You know, that's a question for us to tackle. And we know that Jesus in Matthew 27, when he died, the graves were opened. Glory to God. All, you know, many bodies of their saints that slept, you know, from the moment that Jesus died, not even, you know, at his resurrection. From the moment he died, the graves were opened. But they can only stand up. They can't come out of there because Jesus is the first fruits. And they had to wait their turn. But when Jesus came out of the grave, then they themselves also came out and made their appearance to many in the so-called holy city. You can read that story, you know, in Matthew chapter 27. A fascinating story. And sometimes people don't actually know that that story is there. Fascinating story of how the Lord's death, just his death alone, you know, brought, you know, the graves. So let me just read it to us in case. Because it goes right down with this story that we are telling here. In Matthew chapter 27, from verse 50, we read, "And when Jesus had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of that temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks were rent, and the graves were opened." Hallelujah. Right there at his death, not even at his resurrection, the moment he died, graves were opened. Many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And then, but they only arose and stood on guard. They can't come out of there yet. But they came out of the graves after his resurrection. So they actually arose there for 3 days and stood on guard. And were thus there. And they came out of their graves after his resurrection. And went into the holy city and appeared unto many. My goodness. And God made sure that some people recognized them. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo-hoo. Now, so that's what happened even at his death. Let alone his resurrection. You know, so, but let's go back to our story here in John 11. You know, so, you know, it's most of the time, it's so hard for people to believe the things for the moment, even though we believe in the general, you know. But Jesus said unto her, Jesus had said unto her, "Your brother will live again," you know. So, it's, you know, and then meanwhile, they went sent to Mary who had been in the house, and Mary comes and see him and fell down at his feet. And she said exactly the same thing that her other sister said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died," you know. And so, you know, everybody weeping and all of that and so forth. Jesus also felt the compassion and groaned in his spirit, you know, and he asked them, "Look, where have you laid him?" They said, "Come and see." And, you know, there was emotion and everything in Jesus also that, you know, swelled up in him at that time. He wept, not for himself. He knew within himself what he would do. But the pain of the people and their unbelief and everything, you know, all combined together, you know, and it just, you know, the compassion, you know, when he now sees how all the people were grieving and crying and everything like that. But within himself, he knew what he would do. You know, so, you know, he came over there, you know, and says to them, "Run away the storm." Glory to God. My goodness. I mean, how do you do that? How do you go to a graveside There are dozens of people literally standing around. I mean, you're not doing this thing in a secret place, you know, where if you did it and it didn't happen, nobody knew it and you just walk away. I mean, people are standing all around, everybody crying and everything, you know, and then you walk up to the grave. I mean, show me the grave, and they see it and say, roll away the stone. Hallelujah. And Martha said to him, you know, look, Lord, by this time, he's stinking already. He's been there 4 days. They didn't even bother to embalm him and everything. Maybe not. He's already stinking. 4 days he's been there. And Jesus said unto her, didn't I say to you that if you can only believe, you'll see the glory of God? You know, stand aside. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you because you already heard me. And I'm saying this prayer not because of myself, because I already knew what the Father is going to do, but, you know, because of the people that stand by, that you may believe that you have sent me. And then he turned around, my goodness, and he zeroed in on that grave. Lazarus, come forth. My goodness. And at that moment, I guarantee you, if you had dropped a pin, you would have heard it. Got a dead silence in that place. Everybody say, wow. Lazarus, come forth. I mean, and everybody is waiting. Dead silence. And a moment goes by. 2 moments go by. I don't know how long, but you know, it probably was less than a minute, but it took like forever. Because everybody was just waiting to see what would happen. And then the next thing you know, the most incredible sight that they ever saw in their lifetime. You know, Lazarus, who was bound with grave clothes and everything. You know, and that's how they used to do them. Wrap them from the head, draw around to their feet. Wrap them around, wrap the hands, wrap the legs, wrap everything. Just wrap them all around like that. He somehow dragged himself out of that grave. Come on! And stood right there. My goodness, the people like fall down and fainted. Many of them did. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Woo, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, why did I tell this story? Well, because there may be things in your life that appear dead, of which God told you, you know, I'm going to bring life. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But then actually, it went opposite of what God already said. And that's exactly what happened here. It's not unto death, but then they died. And even Jesus with his own mouth said, the man died. But you told us before that he wouldn't die. And listen, it's so hard for people to believe that. You know, several years ago, I went to a place to go and preach in Tanzania. It was a miracle crusade rallies of sorts for about 10 days, things like that. I went with a friend. You know, some of you know Brother Roland Akibon. You know, I went with him. And we got there, and the crusade was about to start. I think it was even the first day or so. You know, we had some conferences in the morning for the pastors and crusades in the evening. And between while we were even getting to the conference, the first day of the conference, some news came. I mean, many people were late, and I was wondering, why are they late? They should have been so excited to get here. And it turned out later that, you know, somebody died in the family of one of the main organizers of that village, one of the pastors that organized that event. It was one of the chief leaders that put that together. Many, many pastors from anywhere, but he was the chief of them in that particular place. His daughter had just died. And that's why nobody came to that meeting. And, you know, we're just there. And like, what's happening? Where's everybody? And then finally somebody said, well, this happened in, you know, they said, well, somebody died when we are here for a miracle rally. And I said in my heart, I said to my friend, I said, well, here is an opportunity. I said pretty much the same thing. Well, this thing is not unto death, but this is for the glory of God. Because, you know, God needs to show his power in this place, you know, that God is able to do this. So I said, well, take us to the house of the people. So somebody, you know, they finally found somebody who was going to take us there. And, you know, when we get there, you know, there's a crowd, you know, and so on, and everybody doing one thing or the other, you know. And as we walk in the compound, I think maybe somebody recognized us or whatever. And someone said, oh, no. The child is dead. Don't even bother, you know, don't bother the man. Don't give him any false hope. And I'm like, what do you mean the child is dead? The child just died. And even if your child is dead, and I started to say, I said, no, we don't do that, you know. And they just shut us down. And I found out later that, you know, these people were Muslims. They came from the Muslim tradition. You know, we were in Dar es Salaam of Tanzania, and a thick Muslim place. Many of them had been converted to the faith, but they carried their, and I heard later on that as soon as somebody died, they had to bury them right away, and they say it's done. That's it. Can't do nothing about it. They don't want to hear nothing. Can't tell them anything. So we go into the, you know, living room or family room where everybody's gathered and so forth. I'm trying to say something. They say, no. I'm like, wow. You know, so we just left it be. Unfortunately, that was the sad ending to that story. And we never got to a chance to see, you know, and I believed in with all my heart, you know, that girl was coming back. What happened? You know, and then eventually they told us, you know, and the girl just died, you know, the night before. It wasn't even a car crash or anything. I don't know what to do. Just died. And the next thing they know, she's buried. And everybody says it's over. I'm like, what do you mean? I just couldn't understand it. You know, because these people, they are the ones that organize the miracle rally. And they even put there, you know, in the flyers, they said, you know, Christ may raise the dead, you're in a wheelchair or this and that. And they put out all things like that, you know, because we send them some wordings, you know, and everything. But when it's happened to them, nobody believed. You see, so this is the problem. And it was a sad, sad story. And my heart was pumping from the time that we heard that story. I was so excited that, wow, you know, we're going to kick off this event with the raising of the dead. What a marvelous thing. Because I just 100% believed it in my heart, but they shut it down. And that's the same thing as believers out this. These people believed that God was able to raise the dead. God's able to do all these things and so on and so forth. But when it happened to them, they said, no, it's over. She's buried, dead. We can't do that. You know, that referring to their tradition and everything, I'm trying to speak against it. They don't want to hear none of it. So, unfortunately, sad story. But do you believe this? Do you believe that God's able to, you know, do this thing? Not just the general things that we believe, but this specific thing. And there are many things that may be dead in our lives. The promises of God that he has spoken to you may be dead or appear dead. But I want to call out to you today that it's only asleep. It's not dead. It may look dead. And the Lord may even have delayed to the point that he even died and got worse. But remember, in John chapter 12 and verse 24, Jesus brought out a powerful thing. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. My goodness. You know, sometimes that dream, you know, sometimes that hope, that vision or whatever it is, you know, whatever that promise that even he gave you, sometimes it will die because he gave them the word. This is not unto death, but then this thing is still died. Glory to God. But, you know, God already called out the end game from the beginning. This is not unto death. So no matter what happens in between, what he said must come to pass, even if he has to reverse the death. And in this case of this story, Jesus said, you know, I'm glad that I wasn't there. He actually on purpose delayed so that the man could die, so that they could believe that even Christ could raise up the dead, even out of the grave. But, you know, tell that to the person who's grieving, that, you know, God is, you know, delaying so that the glory of God might be greater in the situation. Nobody wants to hear that. You are the one that knows where the shoe is hurting. You are the one that's facing whatever situation you are facing. But ladies and gentlemen, hear ye the word of the Lord today. That thing is not dead. It's only sleeping. Glory to God. God is going to call it out and bring it forth. He is able and he will do it. Because he gave you the word. And it looks like everything go exactly opposite to it. But yet he knows what he is doing. Hallelujah. God already gave you that promise. Now that promise is dead. But I say unto you that it's not dead. It's only sleeping. Jesus said to them, even though Lazarus was dead, he said to them, he's not dead, but he's only sleeping. Now let me go and wake him up. Glory to God. Now I'm going to wake up some dead promises right here in this room today. Hallelujah. The power of his resurrection. Now let me release by the power of God's resurrection things into everyone's life today. Promises are dead. You know, your dreams are dead. Your hopes and aspirations concerning some great things that the Lord promised. He promised you that you will emerge this year, but you seem to be going even backwards. Whatever it is, everything just seems to be opposite. Ladies and gentlemen, the power of his resurrection is with us today. Let me now speak point blank to those situations that may appear dead. Remember, God... The Bible says, God who raises the dead. My goodness. Romans 4 and 17. He doesn't bury the dead. He raised the dead even. Hallelujah. God who raises the dead and calleth those things that are not as though they already are. And let me say it to you also this way. God who calls the dead as though they are not dead but sleeping. Hallelujah. That's the title of my lesson today. God calls the dead as not dead but sleeping. The promise, the corn of wheat in your life that fall to the ground and died. The corn of wheat in your hand that fall into the ground and died. The promise of God in your life that seemed like it's falling to the ground and died. And is now dead. Ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, let me proclaim to you freely by the Spirit of God today that it's not dead. It's only asleep. And it's now time for it to wake up. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to pray right now. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. Now, if you identify with this prayer, listen. You know, God, he knows what he is doing. And he called it from the beginning. He gave you a promise. And now it looks like that promise is dead. But I say to you, it's not dead. It's only asleep. Now we go to wake it up. We're going to wake it up right now. So if you're here in this room, as I'm going to pray right now, let's wake up some things that may be dead in your life. The Bible even says that, you know, even the deadness of Sarah's womb could not prevent the word of God from coming to pass. Even the deadness of her womb. Hallelujah. You know, it doesn't matter to God at all. He's a great creator. Dead or alive, it makes no difference to him. As far as he's concerned, nothing really died. It's just sleeping. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So that promise that he gave you, that promise for you to arise and shine, that promise for you to be head and not the tail, which looks upside down right now, looks like you're at the bottom rather than being at the top, like he said. You know, the promise that he gave into your hands, which he said, what is in your hand? Do something with it. And you try to do it, but it looks like it's dead. All of that, I say to you today, it's not dead. It's only asleep. And the power of his resurrection will call that forth. So if you are in here today or you're listening to this, let's believe God together. I'm going to pray over the room. Hallelujah. Join us in the prayer. You know, if you are on stage, believe God with me. If you are in the audience, believe God with me as well. You know, signify, raising your hand, that you receive and tap into this grace today. And I will pray over the room and over every hand that's raised. And even in the audience, blink your mind. I mean, stay on stage, blink your mind. And I'm going to believe God for everyone that's here today that Lord will do something incredible in your life. You know, kind of like calling that thing out of the grave. But first, you got to roll away the stone. You got to move out the clouds that have been clouding your mind and the unbelief that's locked that thing up and made it appear as if it cannot come out of that grave. It's dead. It's buried. Even now it stinketh. They said, you know, but dead and buried, stinking or not, makes the Lord no difference. As a matter of fact, it all works out for his purpose, except the corn of wheat falling into the ground and die. He must actually die for the Lord to produce something out of it. And remember the words of Job 14 and 7 through 9. There is hope of a tree, though it be dead. Hallelujah. Well, it's dead in our eyes. As far as the Lord is concerned, it's only sleeping. Call that thing out of there. Don't matter to God whether he's in the grave 4 days. It doesn't even matter how many thousands of years they've been in that grave. At the last trump, when the trump of God shall sound with the voice of the archangel, they're coming out of there. Because Jesus said, the hour is coming that all that are in the graves will hear his voice. Glory to God. And he calling them out of there. Well, before we get there, believest thou this today? I mean, don't just be like Martha and say, well, you know, yeah, I know that, you know, we're all going to be cool in heaven. Everything's all going to be good in the resurrection. No, Jesus said, I'm talking about right now, right here. Glory to God. I am the resurrection and the life. The buck stops right here. You don't need to look anywhere else. I'm right here. Glory to God. And I will bring forth that which seemed to be dead. It's really not dead. It's only sleeping. For you, it seemed like it's dead. But Jesus said, no, it is not dead. Hallelujah. It is living. Glory to God. I see your hand up, Brother Kolakpo, and anybody else who raised their hand. I'm going to release this prayer in the name of Jesus. And anybody else that believes God, God bless you today as we call forth that which appear to be dead. I may even be dead, but God already said it is not unto death. Hallelujah. And because it's not unto death, even if he has to reverse the process of death, he will reverse it. Because he gave us the end result that it's not unto death, but to the glory of God. Now, let all the things that appear dead in your life, let them come back to life. To the glory of God. I declare and release in Jesus' name the power of his resurrection that the whole world celebrate today. Well, yeah, that's the whole world. But me, I know he's able to do it for me right now. Hallelujah. I'm not looking for him. Come out of that grave because he's no longer there. I don't need to go to heaven to bring him down. You know, the word is in your mouth, the Bible says. Now, we speak this word over every situation. Now, there is a promise and all promises that God has given you that now appears dead. You know, you tried to revive it, but it gets even worse. And then it looks even worse. But God says, it's not dead. It's only asleep. God is able to bring, he said to, you know, Ezekiel, can these bones live again? And the man said, well, I don't know, but thou knowest, Lord. And then the Lord said, look, here's what I want you to do. I know the bones can live, and they will live if you do what I tell you to do. And the Lord told him, prophesy upon these bones. Glory to God. And when he did, say, ye bones, hear the word of the Lord. Come back to life. And they did. Stood up on their feet. But there was still no flesh and no breath. I mean, the flesh started to come, but there was no breath. And he said, wow, You know. Say, well, next thing is turn to the winds. My goodness. And prophesy breath upon these bones. Hallelujah. Breath. Glory to God. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you because we now see that bones, dead bones, can live again. Dead things, dead dreams can live again. Ha, glory to God. Because indeed, they are not dead, but sleeping. Dead bones, we ask them to come alive in the name of Jesus. Dead dreams, or the dry bones, let them come alive in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Powerful story in Ezekiel 37. He called that out of the valley of dry bones. Now, maybe valley of dry bones in here today. Many, many dry bones. And they were indeed very dry. But the Lord said, speak unto these bones. And he spoke as he was commanded. And then again, the Lord said, speak unto the winds. And he spoke and he was commanded. Now I speak unto the dead things that appear to be dead, but in the mind of God, they're only sleeping. I command them to come back to life in Jesus' name. Glory to God. And let the spirit of quickening, the spirit of the quick pace of the Lord, the zeal of the Lord, the thing that gives life and motion, the spirit, the winds, let them bring motion to that thing. You know, it comes out of the grave, but it's still bound. He can't really move. The limbs are still tied together. The arms are tied. The legs are tied. Everything is still tied together. But God said, loose him and let him go. I command the winds of heaven that bring life. Come upon those dreams and those hopes and those promises that are now coming back to life. And let the wind of God, the spirit of God, give life back into these promises. And up in your hands that the Lord gave to you in Jesus' name. Now, the Lord is your glory and the lifter up of your head. And as we know that the world today commemorates the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, let's take advantage of that power of his resurrection. That the things that appear to be dead, like Jesus said, I am the resurrection of the life. And the life right now and right here. The things that appear to be dead, we call them back to life in Jesus. Even there are dead cells in their body. You know, sometimes health, you know, situations, even cancer, they eat away at cells and different things like that. You know, things in the body that don't belong there. We command them, you know, even the things that are dead, command them to come back to life and newness of life in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. God will flush all things out of there. Hallelujah. Even dead blood cells. Oh my goodness. The Bible says that the word of God goes into the bones and the marrows. The blood factory even goes in there and it creates new things. Hallelujah. And he said to them in the book of Joel chapter 3, and verse 21, for I will cleanse their blood that was hitherto not cleansed. Hallelujah. Saith the Lord that dwelleth in Zion. The Lord cleansed the things that appear dead. He'll bring them back to life. He'll bring back the dreams. Bring back the hopes, the visions, and all the things that God promised you before that look like they are dead. Behold, saith the Lord. It's not dead, only asleep. Hallelujah. And Lord, we thank you for the power of your resurrection. The word is spoken today, and so let it be. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If the word is mingled with faith in your heart, that's all you need today. Believe on the Lord, and so shall you be established. Believe also his prophets. That's what Jehoshaphat said. And so shall ye prosper. We have prophesied the word of God to you this morning. Believe it, that you may prosper. And Lord, we thank you because things are now coming out of those graves. Hallelujah. And even they came out and were still bound with grave clothes. We command them to be loosed. Hallelujah. Be loosed in Jesus' name. Let the Spirit of God, the winds, give life back to those dreams and those visions, and those hopes and those promises. Hallelujah. And the deadness that appear unto us today, tomorrow, we see that the thing is back to life. Because of your resurrection power, what team that were previously dead, even before today, today, they're coming back to life. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.